It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. This is the Father's house.
Yes, it is.
This is not the hog pen.
Amen.
There is peace in the house.
That's right.
Joy in the house.
That's right.
Salvation in the house.
That's right.
Healing in the
Amen.
House. Victory in the
yes.
house.
Yes.
Prosperity in the house.
That's it.
Everything you need is in the house.
Come on. Yes.
Everything you want is in the house.
That's right.
Yes.
If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, this day for this assembly gathered here this morning.
Yes,
we thank you, God, for these exceeding great and precious promises which we receive into our lives. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning, God. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear, and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're in the book of Acts. I think I stopped last week at chapter 16, verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they, that is Paul, Paul and Silas, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So now we know that there's at least three people. We don't know who all is with them, but there's at least three, because we got Paul and Silas, and we got whoever the author is, and apparently that's Luke, right? So we've got, Paul and Silas and Luke were traveling together. He says, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Silas didn't write Acts. Paul didn't write Acts. Luke wrote Acts, as far as we can tell. So Luke was traveling with them. And maybe others were traveling with them. We don't know for sure. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to wherever that place is. And the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted thither.
Well, can I ask you a question? Do you think Luke was one of the 120 that saw Jesus ascend so he could write Acts chapter 1? He was a witness.
He was a witness to what?
Jesus ascending up.
Oh. I don't know. It's possible. Don't know. We don't know. We don't know who Luke was really for sure.
And he could have been in an upper room too, witnessing all that.
We don't know for sure.
Part of it. I know we don't know, but you know he's pretty detailed in his writing.
Yeah, he says he had perfect knowledge of all those things that took place. So that's why he wrote the book of Luke, because he says he had full understanding of all those things, and it's one of those mysteries that we really don't know about Luke, who the world he was for sure.
The genealogy of Mary and Luke 3, man, is pretty impressive.
It's very impressive. That is a very impressive genealogy. It's the only genealogy we have of Jesus. The one in Matthew is not a genealogy of Jesus.
Right.
And Matthew knew full well that he wasn't writing a genealogy of Jesus.
That's
because
exactly
he told us that Jesus was virgin born.
Yeah.
And so him carrying through the paternal all the way through from Joseph back to Abraham, he knew good and well that had nothing to do with Jesus' ancestry.
Yeah.
So there was a whole other reason why that Matthew There's a whole different reason why Matthew set out his genealogy like he did, and we'll talk about that in Revelation, in our Revelation study.
Are you recording those?
No.
You know, you didn't even see anybody. You really are. You need to fall on your knees right now.
Tell them.
That's true, man. I want to hear it.
When we get to Revelation chapter 11, we're going to talk about the mystery of the number 42.
Yeah, well, now you're talking about something else. I have done some study on 42.
Well, then you need to be there.
You're going to take that.
I probably won't take that either. Although we might.
72.
We might.
72.
No, we're not going to 72. We're going to do 42. But we're going to do 42. That'll take a whole. That'll take the whole period, probably. So I might accidentally. Well, it wouldn't be an accident.
So what's happening?
I might record that particular session because that's.
What chapter are you on now?
I'm gonna have to start working on Monday.
Yeah, that's good.
So we're on two. We're not going fast, no. We finished one verse last week. We did one verse.
Wow.
Yeah, so. Very interesting.
All right.
All right, bro, and repent.
Better get down on your knees.
That's what he told Ephesus to do.
Yeah, that's right. He said that.
Right.
Y'all keep taking them back to Revelation.
Yeah. It all roads lead to Revelation.
Actually, it does. The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay. That is true.
The revealing of Jesus.
That's true.
Go back to verse 7 and tell us why you think they see the Spirit.
There's a couple of observations here. First of all, it doesn't tell them how they knew that the Lord wouldn't let them go. It just said that the Lord wouldn't let them go. We don't know any more about how they knew or how the Lord did it, how the Lord prevented them. We don't know, nor do we know why. But apparently the Lord wanted them to go in another direction. So they went to when you're in Macedonia, you're on a whole different continent.
Right.
You're not even on the same continent as Asia. You're in Europe now.
Right.
So they went to Macedonia.
The colony of Rome.
That's right. It's the old Greek Empire. It's where Philip of Macedon, Alexander the Great's father, ruled. Yeah. So anyway, that's where they went, and that's apparently where the Lord wanted them to go at the time, and you know, nobody knows why. But it says here twice that they thought that they would go somewhere in Asia and preach, but the Lord wouldn't let them do that. And so,
you know, that happened to Terry Mize over in China a few times, where he was going to go to this one province over China, and the Lord told him, don't go there.
Yeah.
He never knew why.
Yeah.
More likely, he would have been killed over
That's
there.
Entirely possible. That is entirely possible that the people weren't ready to receive it at that time or something like that, that they would be killed before their time. You know, I mean, we know Paul was martyred, but he wasn't supposed to be martyred yet. So, the Lord can direct you away from a place that's gonna hurt you, and let you come back at another time. And that, of course, is what happened, because Paul did go back there eventually. He did go to those places eventually, but not at this time. So there's, you know, the Lord does have a schedule. He does do things on a time schedule. The Lord has a schedule. And we need to get on his schedule. Because you can go somewhere too soon, or you can mess around and go too late, and then you can't get the results that you should get if you were there on time. So we need to be sensitive to the Lord, and especially, you know, for ministers and you know, apostles like what you're talking about. And they you know, there may not be, it may not, that part of the country may not be receptive to a church message right at that time, but it would be, you know, a little later.
Well, I know the Chinese army man was out to kill him, you know.
Yeah.
Said, if you come to China, we're waiting on you, we're going to kill you, but they never could find him, because the Lord would lead him here and there and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
He told him, you can't touch me, because I'm a man of God.
Yeah. That's...
We didn't tell him.
Yeah. All righty, well, let's see. Let's move back over here where we're in verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Thyatira. Mm. Where did we hear that word?
Back to Revelation.
Back to Revelations again. One of the seven churches of Revelation.
All roads, baby.
Well, this is interesting because this Thyatira, they're apparently in Europe, and Thyatira ain't anywhere near Europe. Something's going on here. I got to check this out. There's something happening here because they're not in Thyatira. Not in the Thyatira of Revelation. That's for dead sure. Now, she may have been from Thyatira and was living in Philippi.
That's what it seems like.
It's what it looks like.
Right. As you read it.
That's true. It's what it looks like must have happened. But they're not in Thyatira, that's for sure.
Well, there's a reason why God put it there.
Now, there's a reason why it's in there. So anyhow, she's there from Thyatira for some reason, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Mm. Now there's all kinds of questions come to mind about this right here.
Man. Many days he put up with this. Until he was just grieved.
Now, first of all, let's talk about what she was saying. Was she lying? Mm-mm. No.
She didn't know who these guys were.
She wasn't lying. She was speaking by the devil. Was the devil lying?
Right.
No.
Because the devil knows who he is.
The devils knew who he was.
Yeah.
You know, the devil wasn't lying. You know, and you think about all the times when Jesus encountered demon-possessed people, and these demons began to cry out and say, we know who you are, you're the Son of God. Were they lying?
No.
No. They weren't lying. He was the Son of God. But in every case, Jesus said, shut up. He did not want a testimony from the devil.
Well, like the seven sons of Sceva, they said, you know, Paul, Jesus we know, and Paul we know.
Paul we know, but we don't know who you are. So why didn't Jesus want testimony from the devil? We need to think about that. Why did not Jesus want the devil to testify on his behalf?
Because there'd be a lie in there somewhere.
There's something twisted in there somewhere.
Well, in one place Jesus said, you know, the prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me. So Jesus did not want or need any testimony from the devil. Jesus...
She was probably being real sarcastic about it. You know, and making fun.
You think?
I never looked at it that way, but that's a possibility, you know.
That's how I always took it.
That she was being really sarcastic about it?
You know, kind of making fun of them, you know.
I don't even think she even knew who they were there at first, you know. It would have been the devil in her that knew who they were.
Well, that's true. It was the devil. It was the devil. That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I don't know all the answers to this, but I know that Jesus would not allow the devils to ever testify on his behalf. He did not want their testimony.
And sometimes it wasn't his time for them to know.
Well, he did not want their help. The Lord does not need the devil's help. He does not want the devil's help.
Even when he had the confrontation of the devil in the wilderness, the devil was telling them to.
That's
said,
true.
Only to obey everything.
That's
every
true.
Word that proceed out of the mouth of God, that's, not out your mouth.
See, that's true. Mm-hmm. There's a great truth in there, mm-hmm. because there was no reason. Mm-hmm. There was no reason. I mean, it wouldn't be a sin for Jesus to turn a stone into bread. I mean, that wouldn't be a sin.
He could have done it.
Uh-huh. Except that if he had obeyed the devil, then we'd have been right back in the same situation that we were when Adam obeyed the devil.
That is so true.
He was trying to get Jesus to prove
who he was.
That is exactly right.
But Jesus knew who he was.
That's right.
Same thing.
Exactly.
This perverted generation only seeks.
Jesus could not obey the devil in any single thing. Not in anything. He had to be perfect in all things as Adam was not. So he could not do what the devil said, even though. You know, I mean, he had it in his power to do it.
He had the power.
He had the power to do it. There's no problem with that. But he couldn't do it at the behest of the devil.
And he wouldn't do it.
And he wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, the devil knew he could do it.
And the devil knew he could do it. And the devil knew he could do it. So I think you're talking about something like that's sort of getting us into the reason why the Lord would not let the devil testify for him, because he did not want the devil. He's not on the devil's side. The devil is not on his side. We don't need the devil testifying for us.
No, that's cool right there.
We do not need the world's help. We do not need the devil's help in propagating the Word of God.
Right.
We do not need it. And we do not want it.
No.
We get our support and substance out of the kingdom of God and not out of the world.
Right. Because the people knew her, knew that she was making much money for this man.
Oh, that's right. That is true.
And they thought that, hey, this is the way Paul is operating too. He's using her for
that's
money.
True.
You know?
That's true. Never the twain should meet. We should not mix the kingdom of God with the world.
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep it pure. And this wouldn't been keeping it pure. So now this brings up another issue here. Why did Paul put up with this for many days?
Paul wanted a revival. Paul wanted to win souls. And he knew if he had did it on the first day, that they would have got him, ran him out of town, what they did do after he did it the last day. Paul was just kind of waiting, just putting up with it, because he wanted souls. He wanted to reach people. He wanted to bring deliverance. Because whatever Paul went, it either was a revival or a riot.
Yeah, that's true. He pretty well turned everything upside down. It says here that Paul cast out the devil after he was grieved. After he was grieved, he cast out the devil. Now I think, see, casting out devils is a miracle working. It's a working of miracles. It is an operation of the gift of the working of miracles. So it's I suspect that, you know, you can't just work a miracle at any time, anywhere, anytime you want to. Miracles, gifts of healing and miracles. Jesus healed when he had compassion on the people. It says he was moved with compassion and he healed the people. Paul cast out the devil when he was grieved. And you need your spirit. This is an operation of the spirit. Your spirit needs to get involved for the operation of the gift of miracles or any of the gifts of the spirit. Your spirit needs to be engaged.
That's true.
You have to be moved with compassion.
That's
That's true.
Or you have to be grieved by something, for your spirit, your righteous indignation has to bubble up, and you have to be moved in your spirit to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, it took several days apparently for Paul to be grieved in his spirit by this whole business. And as soon as he was grieved in his spirit, then the gift of the working of miracles operated and he cast out the devil.
That is so true.
It is true. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I've talked to, you know, I've seen people that, you know, lay hands on folks and get miraculous results just, you know, instantly. And I know in one particular case, little Jim came and laid hands on Joanne when she was in the hospital right after she had surgery. And she was, her blood pressure was falling, had fallen all night long. And they thought she must have had a bleeder inside somewhere, and they scheduled surgery to go in and try to find it. And I called little Jim, or I called Pastor Jim in the wee hours of the morning and told him what was going on. And all of a sudden, little Jim showed up. And I never will forget it. When he showed up, he came, he was angry. He was angry at the devil. He really was. He was angry at the devil. And he was visibly angry at the devil for trying to pull this.
Right.
And he went in there and laid hands on Joanne and rebuked the devil and commanded her blood pressure to rise, commanded healing, and instantly it began to come, it came back up.
Mm-hmm.
It began to rise. The first time they took it after that, she had good blood pressure. The first time since she'd had surgery. And he told me, he said afterwards, he said, you know, he said, I can't manufacture that. He said, I wish I could. But that, he said, I came and my spirit was grieved. He said, I wish I could get that way, you know, on command. But he said, I can't.
Yeah.
He said, I can't do it, but that time he was. Yes, that's true. He was really grieved in his spirit, and when he laid hands on her, bam, things happened. Now, you can't get that, you don't operate in that all the time. That's it. We see here that Paul didn't operate in that every day. But when he did, miracles happened. As soon as Paul was grieved, then miracles happen. So, you know, this teaches us some things about how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We cannot just go around, willy-nilly doing things. You know, we've got to. That's what fasting and prayer comes in. That's where it comes in. We need to be, you know, engaged. Our spirits need to be engaged in this process.
Amen.
I believe that's what fasting does too.
That's what fasting does. It does. That is what fasting does.
Listen how you said that. That is so powerful how you said it takes the body out of the way.
That's right.
Body out of the way.
That is what happens. You can't be operating in the flesh and operate the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
Because we are spirit beings.
We are spirit beings. And if we are going to, that's right. If we are going to join forces with the Holy Ghost, it has to be a spirit operation. And our spirits must be engaged. In unity with the Holy Ghost in order for these things to happen.
And allowed to dominate our.
That's right. Exactly. We have to contact the Holy Ghost so that He can operate through us.
And I believe you can obtain that if you believe it. Because see, it says, you know, soul man thinking that is he, you know. So if you believe that and meditate on it and think about that,
you've got to stay at it. You've got to work at it because it is a lifestyle, and the flesh is always trying to gobble it up and to take over and to overshadow everything. So you've got to keep the flesh out of the way so that your spirit is in control and dominates your actions, and then you can be used to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
All right.
Bring it, baby.
Praise the Lord.
Let's just look at 19 verse where it says, and when her master saw, right after he did,
Right.
her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone.
Yeah.
They caught Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
They knew what had happened. They knew that they had cast that demon out.
Yeah.
So obviously they knew she was possessed.
Well, she couldn't do it anymore. It was gone. She couldn't do it anymore.
And they didn't have any more gains.
No, they didn't.
Their way of living, you know, making
that is true.
You know, they were just very upset with Paul. And
that's right. That is absolutely right.
They would rather, they didn't want to see the girl free.
No.
They would rather, she was their money maker. She was their money maker.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is so sad.
That is absolutely right. All right. Glory to God. God is good.